GM und herzlich willkommen zu Episode 22 von CryptoTicker, der Podcast. In Episode 22 konnte ich mit Rebecca Revell sprechen. Sie ist Gründerin des NFT-Club Berlin, hat Anthropologie und Kunstgeschichte studiert, ist wirklich tief vernetzt im Solana-Ökosystem und ein echter Tausendsasser. Also mehr als genug Material für eine super kurzweilige Folge. Wir sprechen über den Purpose des NFT-Club Berlin, wie sie Art-NFTs sieht und wo auch die Schnittmengen zwischen traditioneller Kunst und NFT-Art zu finden sind, wie die Solana-Community den Crypto-Crash sieht und sie gibt uns sehr, sehr viele persönliche Ansichten mit. Also wirklich eine Folge, bei der wir alle noch ein bisschen was lernen können. Deshalb, ich spare mir ein bisschen Blabla vorneweg und wünsche euch direkt viel Spaß mit Episode 22 und Rebecca Revell. Welcome, Rebecca. Thanks a lot for joining me. Maybe it would be best suitable if you could just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about what you do, who you are, what's your background, where you come from, all these kind of things.
Absolutely. Well, since you asked where I'm from, I'm technically from Canada, but I've been in Germany for a long time and I call Berlin home. And I do many things. So I'm an artist and I finished my PhD in art, anthropology and Buddhism. So I also kind of have this theoretical academic background that I have then brought into Web3 because studying communities and studying how communities create art is also very relevant because, you know, even though it was a very different context, we are all humans and we kind of interpret it in different ways. So that's part of what I do. And I also, a large part of my life is running the NFT Club Berlin. We have the largest IRL NFT community, we think, in Europe.
Okay. How big is it?
It's how big is it? That's always the question. It's really hard to put an exact number because we don't have a barrier for entry. It's important for us that it's open for everybody to come and be part of our community and come to events. So it's hard to have an exact number. You know, I think we have like 3,000 on Meetup. A few thousand on Discord, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Telegram, and it's hard to know how many people overlap.
Okay.
But we have a large group of obviously degens, of people that are just kind of curious, artists, people that are working in Web3, in Web3 gaming, all different kinds of areas. So it's very diverse, but that also takes up a lot of my time too.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, I mean, what is the purpose of that community? Is it to educate? Is it to provide a space where people can connect? What is there like a basic purpose behind it, or is it several different, well, approaches and you basically try to combine these?
Yes, the latter. So we do different kinds of events because our community is very diverse. We try to support a lot of different people. But because my background is in art, I tend to feel very comfortable with supporting the art side of things and doing exhibitions, which is great because you can combine it with really nice events because people also enjoy seeing art regardless of if they're artists or not. Yeah. So we do a lot of different kinds of partnerships. We do exhibitions, but we also do, for example, educational content and also just, you know, networking meetups because our concept or the idea behind it is that we want to be an entity that brings everybody together. Like we are not selling a particular thing. Shilling, you know, one, you know, we don't sell anything. Our idea is to really bring all of these little fragmented pieces of the Web3 community, whether they're NFT projects or artists or people working in DeFi or whatever, to really just bring everybody together and give them the opportunity to network and kind of create deeper connections, maybe support our local artists. If there's a way to connect people of like, oh, hey, they're looking for some kind of programmer, or hey, we need a graphic artist, or to be able to really support each other and build up the whole Berlin ecosystem. Because I'm very convinced also the sort of Web3 thinking that we are stronger when we work together.
So
that's sort of the main mission.
I fully agree. But is that what you actually make your living with, or is it something, I mean, so you're not selling stuff, right? So that's not how you actually, well, earn money, and everybody's got to somehow pay rent, I guess, right?
Yes. We are volunteers, and it is basically a nonprofit. Yeah. For larger events, we work with sponsors so that they can also get some exposure and, you know, kind of help us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that is currently the quote unquote business model, but it's something that's very much a work in progress because it's important that it becomes sustainable because at the moment it's not really, but there's so much potential and there's such an incredible community that it's important for me to continue it. And it's also important for me to not turn it into like an advertising agency.
No. I fully agree.
I don't want to shield anybody. Yeah. So it's important to find that balance of, okay, how can we maybe make it more sustainable and still kind of give people a lot of value without just advertising.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, when you grow a community, you eventually you want to give first and you want to enable people to connect, and then also this somehow spreads out, right? So if you have 5,000 people on Meetup, I could imagine there are already people in like local chapter kind of organizations that organize meetups by themselves within a local frame somewhere, you know, because obviously you are based in Berlin, but then there might be people, I don't know, if you're in Europe, in Paris or in Barcelona or wherever.
Yeah.
So those people then also have a motivation to start their own stuff. Okay, but you come from an artist background, so that's really what you've come from. Is that also how you engage in the whole Web3 space? Is that something you still work in, like as your main focus, or how is that now translated?
It's very mixed. So I did start my studies doing fine art, and art has always been the thing that I just love to create stuff. And that kind of transitioned into more of these cultural studies. Yeah. So it's hard to say that I have a real, there's not just one thing that I do at the moment. It's a little bit fractured. So, and, you know, there are some projects like NFT Club Berlin that end up taking a lot more of my time. And I'm getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? I want to take a few weeks off and just make some art. I really want to come back to it. So it's a big mixture of, you know, doing talks and panels and trying to develop my own academic understanding of what's going on in the Web3 space. And that overlaps a lot with the art side of things as well, trying to understand how the one-of-one art space is developing, how that's coming in contact with traditional art spaces that aren't Web3 related, and seeing the whole movements more holistically and trying to understand it from a bigger perspective. So,
what's your perspective? How does it actually develop at the moment? Like one-of-one art, how does it actually fit into the current development? Where do you see that, or how do you see, I don't know, the potential of it?
All right. So there I am. There's a few different aspects that you can really get into about this, you know, in terms of collectors. I've really noticed that in the last year, there's a lot of degens that have gotten kind of burned. There's been a lot of rugs and a lot of people are just kind of burnt out with the nonstop PFP projects. It's just too
10K
much.
10K collections.
Exactly.
Build up hype within 2 weeks, then do the launch, blah, blah, blah. We all know like typical.
Exactly. And I've noticed that there's a lot of people that were kind of in that scene that are just getting tired of it. They're just getting burnt out and they're starting to see different one-of-one artists emerge depending on what kind of bubble they're in, right? Whether it's like deep in the Solana community or different blockchains or different marketplaces maybe. Depending on where they move, I've seen in a lot of these spaces that a lot of degens and collectors are starting to look at, oh, actually one of one artists, it's more of a longer term investment and you're investing more in the individual, but there's also the joy of the aesthetic side of it. The joy of having a piece of artwork that you love that you can display and, you know, kind of have a different connection with other people and a person rather than maybe an anonymous team from the PFP project, right? And so I'm starting to see the mentality shift a little bit. And I think it's also because there are a few more interactions with the traditional art world. It's still very, very limited. But there are a few places where the traditional art world are starting to overlap just a little bit, especially in contemporary circles. Like when we look at Art Basel Miami that just happened, it was a huge overlap.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, for me, to be honest, Art Basel Miami, like from the channels that I consume where I'm on, it felt more like a Web3 event than an art event.
Yeah.
But probably from the people that come from the traditional art background, fine art background, mm-hmm. for them, it's still like the art event and mm-hmm. not the well Web3 event, I guess.
Exactly. And that's, I think, one of the main or the main example where we can see traditional art and Web3 really coming together in a very strong way. It hasn't started happening in Europe so much. Mm-hmm. Even the last Art Basel in Paris a month or so ago, the only people present were Tezos. And they only had a very small stand. And they said it was really nothing really happening. So it's normal that the trends in North America take a little while to come over here as well.
Yeah.
But we can see even in Berlin, there is a lot more interest in trying to bring these worlds together. Yeah. For example, we also do partnerships with Kunstleben. It's the largest like online art magazine here in Berlin. And Bärme van Luxberg Gallery is a really nice contemporary gallery in Charlottenburg. Yeah. So there are people in the space that are also interested in bringing these worlds together. Yeah. And the more exposure the people in Web3 get to that, the more curious they are about collecting one-of-one art. Mm. And the more that it enters the traditional art world, it also expands their idea of, well, what is art? Mm-hmm. How do you actually own an animated work?
Yeah.
How do you actually own something digital?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. How do you also are able to display it to others? Because eventually, I mean, art is not necessarily made for bragging, but it is mm-hmm. somehow a part of it to be able to display what mm-hmm. you like and what you purchased in order to show it to your friends and or your circles or wherever, not to brag with, but just to say, hey guys, look, I've bought this. What do you think about that? Do you like it? What's your perspective on that, I think?
Exactly. And also just to have it in your space, you know, it's something, for example, I bought a piece recently from a friend and it's this gorgeous photograph. It's sort of photo collage. It was one of my favorite pieces that I recently collected. I'm like, gosh, how can I show this? And I put it as my desktop background for now, right? And it feels really nice to actually be like, oh, I actually own that picture. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I know that there's a few apps that are being developed that give the ability to turn a normal TV into a display object as well. So that I think is slowly coming where you don't need to have a specific frame, like mm-hmm. digital display mm-hmm. frame for it. But it will become more and more accessible and the more creative that we get with displaying it for ourselves personally and also within gallery settings too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it has to somehow, or at least that's my perspective, right? So I only have photographs in my apartment and I really like my photographs, right? They are mm-hmm. really one-on-ones. I really love those. But I would want to have also with digital art, I would want it to have like a certain quality, a certain, it has to not only the item itself or the art itself has to look good, but also like the framing, everything. Mm-hmm. It cannot be pixelated or whatever. It really has to be a high quality in order for me to be willing to also display it in my apartment continuously and not be bored of looking at it or mm-hmm. be annoyed by looking at it.
Moment, jetzt gibt's erstmal ein bisschen Werbung. Und zwar für Kryptoticker. Kryptoticker ist nämlich viel mehr als nur dieser Podcast. Kryptoticker ist die Community rund um Kryptowährungen, Web3, NFTs und allem, was dazugehört. Bereits seit 2015 kümmert sich das Team von Kryptoticker darum, Neulingen und Profis eine Heimat im Kryptospace zu bieten. Auf kryptoticker.io findest du jeden Tag neue Artikel und Insights, prall gefüllt mit News, Tipps, Hintergrundinfos und spannenden Einblicken. Im Kryptoticker Discord kannst du dich außerdem mit Tausenden von Gleichgesinnten austauschen, Fragen stellen, Kontakte knüpfen und vieles mehr. Schau am besten gleich jetzt in die Shownotes, denn da findest du alle Links zu Kryptoticker und kannst direkt ein Teil der Community werden. Und jetzt weiterhin viel Spaß mit Kryptoticker, der Podcast.
How do you see it when people enter that space as, well, in that case, NFT collectors, not in the sense of degens, but in the sense of really fine art NFT or digital art collectors? Are those people that come rather from an art background, or are those people that rather come from the Web3 background and get interested into the one-on-one art?
I would definitely say the second.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. there aren't that many examples that I've really come across where people are coming from the traditional art world and getting really into NFTs.
Okay.
There's a few examples. For example, when you look at König Galerie, they are one of the few cases where they're coming from the traditional art sector and they're becoming really interested in NFTs.
Yeah.
So you can see that it typically kind of goes in the other direction where profile pictures and the degen collecting is a little bit of like a gateway drug in a way. And it gives people more exposure to the other opportunities and the other one-of-one artists in the space.
Yeah.
And typically it seems that people are coming into one-of-one NFT fine art through that channel.
Yeah, I mean, I could also imagine that you have people, you have those collectors that already exist, right? Those Web3 natives that start being interested in one-of-one art. Then this somehow raises interest in like the institutions where like galleries, these kind of places. And those then also maybe transfer the interest to the traditional art world, maybe, right? Where you probably in a few years you might see some traditional art collectors starting to actually adopt it.
Yeah.
But do you think that one-of-one digital art is like a vehicle for, let's say, Gen Z, Gen Y to actually get into the art space itself? Or do you think that this might coexist together also in the future? You will still have like traditional fine art, paintings, these kind of things, but still also digital art? Or do you think, I don't know, what's your perspective on that?
I think there will always be a place for traditional art and having something physical. And I think having NFTs and digital assets that you can own, I think it will really expand how we think of art within a traditional space, right? I think it will really expand when we think about fine art. Okay, now we can talk about maybe VR art experiences or animation or film or anything that wasn't physical that we could hang on a wall before, right? So it's really opening up all the opportunities for all these different kinds of artists as well. And so I think in the future we will see still physical spaces and art being presented, but in a variety of ways. Like I think it will be a lot more vielfältig, diverse, and it will be more about the experience of it and be a little bit more immersive and a lot more creative rather than just hanging something on a wall, right? Because it gives you a lot of different opportunities of, okay, do I project something? Is it a screen? Is it an LED wall? How do we interact with the art itself? Yeah. Is it interactive? Is it generative? Am I doing live minting? Right. So I can see, especially with the younger generations, that there will be a lot more interactivity.
Yeah.
It won't be, you can kind of think of it of, you know, Web 2 galleries is you go into the gallery and you just look at the art, right? Yeah. The interaction goes in one direction. But this Web3 version is there's interactivity between the art and the viewer, right? And they kind of coexist and help change each other too. So I can imagine it going in that direction for sure.
Ah, that's really interesting. Yeah, I can imagine that myself as well. I mean, I don't know, taking your phone with you when you go into a gallery and then you have some AR, VR stuff also integrated into all of that. Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so on Berlinverse, what's your topic that you are talking about here really? So What's your claim?
Well, most recently, I have been doing talks more specifically around NFT culture and sort of anthropological approaches to understanding that. But because Berlinverse was a little bit more art focused and maybe a little bit more broad topic, I am doing a talk just basically what we're talking about right now. It's all about the intersection of NFT fine art and traditional art. So really getting into, what are these different aspects? What are NFTs providing to the traditional art world and vice versa? And how do NFT collectors versus traditional art collectors, where are the differences? Where are they coming from? All of these kind of nuances.
Okay, got it. Then another question. With the whole, 2022, to put it straight, it wasn't really good year for Web3, crypto, these kind of things, right? I mean, starting latest in May, we've had like a really, really bad time now with the FTX disaster that doesn't really shine a good light on the whole crypto space, put it that way, where Web3 is definitely a part of, right? So Is that something that, because I don't think that you see yourself connected with FTX necessarily or with all that's went down in that whole space, but you're on the art side, you're not on the financial side, I guess, right? So is that something that still harms your reputation or the stuff that you actually do and that you stand for in a way where if you talk to people and they ask you, so what do you do for a living? And you say, yeah, I do digital art, one-on-ones, and maybe at a certain point in time, the term NFT is being mentioned, right? And then people are automatically, if they are not into that space, they're automatically like, yeah, okay, that's all a scam. That's a Ponzi, right? So that must be somehow frustrating for you as well, right?
Well, I'm used to kind of curating what I say and who I say it to.
Okay, yeah.
Right? I'm a little bit reserved about, you know, bringing up the term NFT, for example, if it's somebody that I don't really know their stance. Because, yeah, like I am not so involved with like anything with FTX, for example, but I am really deep in the Solana scene and the Solana art space, which was hugely affected.
Massively,
on a large kind of media scale. Like there's been a lot of negativity. Within the Solana community itself, though, it's been incredibly supportive. Everybody is really positive. They're like, you know what? Screw what everyone else is saying. We're going to continue to build. Like we've been doing it for a long time and we're just going to continue working on our projects and people can say whatever they want. And I think that also goes for like the larger crypto space where, yeah, because of all this negative news, you know, a lot of people have shied away from it. And a lot of the kind of people that were just curious have disappeared. Right.
True.
So it's sort of filtered everyone out and everyone who's left is here because they really believe in it. And they're really excited about the technology and what it enables us to do. And, you know, all of these different aspects, right? So in it always comes with two sides, right? On one side, when there's a lot less hype and a lot less craziness, you have a lot more time to, build, work on your own stuff, being like, oh, yeah, I need to redo my website. Or, hey, I really want to work on this series. Or, hey, I want to start this project or whatever it is, right? It's just a different opportunity. And at the same time, there are also a lot fewer people around. So as an artist, for example, you're able to make deeper connections with people or maybe develop more relationships with collectors, people that are, you know, still in the space. Because when the hype train comes and everybody piles on, there's just an oversaturation of people in the space. And there's so much noise. Right. So I think being in such a shitty bear market, because it's not just a bear market anymore. It's like we're dead of Berlin winter. It's rough.
And Berlin winter is gray, to be honest. Berlin winter is gray and frustrating.
And cold and wet and dark and heating is expensive. So we're all cold. But, you know, being there, they have sort of a sense of solidarity with other people that are still here and still working through it. And I think there is something to be said for those relationships that you develop through hard times, right? Because it's easy to be part of something when it's all easy and happy and everyone's
excited.
Easy money,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it comes with these two sides. And I think going through challenges, it develops our own resilience. Yeah. It gives us time to sort of think about different aspects to it. And everyone sees that we are dedicated and we're actually in it, you know, all the superficial stuff has kind of flown away. And so
it's somehow like a healthy, I don't know, filtering out certain aspects that are not sustainable, I guess.
Yeah. It's like there's always two sides to it, right? There's definitely advantages and benefits of having a better market and a better media presence. Like absolutely. And I think for me personally, I approach all of my life challenges as learning opportunities. Like, you know what? Okay, this could technically be seen objectively as pretty shitty, but what am I going to do with this, right? How can I use this as an opportunity to learn and grow and actually become better as a person, as an artist, as all of these, as a community curator, manager, all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. Okay, so if people listening want to go into the one-of-one art space, what's your, well, go-to place? How should they start digging into that when they come from, I don't know, either crypto, DeFi, or from maybe NFT degens and they are interested in art and want to go deeper that rabbit hole? What's your go-to place? How would you say people could get onboarded?
Well, actually, funny you mentioned that. We have a community that's actually just for that.
All right, okay.
But regardless of where people are in the world, I think it is important to find some kind of community, right? Even Twitter is a kind of community, right? But there are these different niches. You know, I know in the Solana space, for example, there's like 21 DAO, there's Kitchen, there's a bunch of sort of collectives where people meet and exchange and share ideas. And there's a lot of collectors and artists and some really exciting projects too. So depending on what kind of circle you're in, or with Tezos, for example, there's events. They have different projects that they do online where you do different hashtags, or there's so many different Discords. And so I think depending on the niche that the person is in or what they're interested in, there are a lot of really friendly, uplifting communities to be part of. Yeah. And then you actually get to know the artists. Yeah. And it's so much more enjoyable for me anyways to be able to buy something or support somebody that I love them
you
as a person.
Know,
and I love their art.
Right.
So I'm supporting them and I'm also getting some amazing art that I can display as well. I think communities are very, very central to Web3. And I think if you wanted to get more involved with artists and one-of-one art, that's an amazing place to start.
Okay, perfect. All right. Thanks a lot. So we're definitely going to put all of those into the show notes and so everybody can click that. Thanks a lot for talking to me about your profession, what you do, art, one-of-one art in the Web3 space. Thanks a lot. Enjoy Berlinverse.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to seeing what happens in the next day.
Yeah, me too. Cheers.
Thank you.
Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wenn dir die Folge gefallen hat, dann lass uns gerne ein Like da, klick auf Abonnieren, mach eine Bewertung und schau auf jeden Fall auch mal auf unsere Social Media Kanäle sowie den Newsletter. Dort findest du immer alle News rund um Kryptoticker, der Podcast. Und jetzt einen schönen restlichen Tag, Abend oder Morgen und bis zum nächsten Mal.